we go. Nick Allen's refusing to say how many inches, right, Ursula?
I don't know if Nick Allen, a lot of people are saying between 4 to 8 inches.
No, I heard Nick say that this morning.
Did he do that?
He's
yeah.
not refusing.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, okay.
Don't
he's
throw Nick under the bus
exactly.
again.
Oh, man.
No, I just, a lot of guys will hold their, you know, hold that information back until it's, until all of a
sudden. No, no, no. He was very forthright.
No, he's saying that the models are showing that, yeah, this is expected to be a doozy.
Okay, thank you.
Possibly worse than the last one.
I'm sorry. I was just stalling because the wooden wagon is delayed. Here comes the wooden wagon now. That's the wagon that Tom and I use to spread news and opinion for 3 hours. And there's always a celebrity now seated in the wagon and bumping along. And somebody wrote to us, why is everybody in the wagon angry? Well, not everybody. I mean, here's Larry King. Sounds like he's had a couple drinks, sitting there holding the teeny tiny lady with the pickle jar.
I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro.
Right.
That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Okay.
That's what we do with pros. We never rude. We don't camp out. We don't tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert. That we're parked.
Understand?
We don't tell you that maybe the check didn't come through this month, and where the hell does it go anyway if you're a guy who's left 16 forwarding addresses?
You must feel sorry for the teeny tiny lady, don't you? That's still going.
Makes me miss the anger.
She's sitting there while he's going on and on. Well, that's hard for her. But you see how she reaffirms? She says hello,
yes.
And he says okay.
Yeah.
And stuff.
She's an excellent listener.
By the way, she does say other words. You might want to. She says, what? All right. MLB investigates into whether the Mariners is a place of racism. Do they say terrible things about Dominicans there? There's a woman who worked for the Mariners for a short period of time, and she made allegations that she had heard that people there were saying that some of the players were lazy and dumb.
Latinos,
yes,
specifically. Lazy, dumb, and stupid, especially the Dominicans, that she claims that she heard some of the upper echelon of the Mariners say that she, when she was a let go, she took them on and made all these accusations. She said that, and there's no wonder. I mean, she not only made these accusations, she also then said, and no wonder the Mariners are never going to go anywhere because they have such, you know, weak leadership and all this. I mean, she really took it out on them. So, as is what happens these days, MLB and the Seattle Mariners have to take it seriously. They do an investigation, and according to the MLB, Major League Baseball, they decided that they did not uncover any credible evidence. All now, right. They hired a law firm to do the investigation, and they came out and said that after their, you know, was it 2-month investigation, they could find nothing to corroborate. Mm-hmm. We then did hear, do we have any sound on this?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, no,
just the sound of you and me.
Okay, so Lorena Martin, the woman that accused the Mariners, she did come out with a statement after the sort of dismissal of the charges or accusations, I guess. And her biggest complaint was that she provided names of what she thought would be corroborative witnesses, and as far as she knows, she says they were never contacted. Uh-huh. They chose not to speak with any of the Dominican trainers who were fired, who could attest to the discriminatory conduct. So, right now, I think from the Mariners' point of view, this is all well and good. They're ready to be done with it. I don't know if there'll be any other legal pursuits on Lorena Martin's part or not, but she's not accepting the initial verdict, I guess.
I see. Well, it's has been said before. Colin Cowherd, who was with ESPN, he made a couple of remarks talking about Dominican. So a third of MLB players are from the Dominican. And he said...
A third of them? I know there are a lot.
Third.
A third of all baseball players? Okay.
This is according to Colin Cowherd.
Okay.
He then goes on to say in his piece that this is what caused ESPN to cut his contract. He said, look, to say that baseball is too complicated, that baseball is too hard to understand, and the general manager can't manage the game because it's too complicated. He goes, I'm sorry. A third of the players are Dominican. And Dominican Republic is not known for creating great academic excellence. Okay? So they're hard workers.
Wow, really?
Yeah. He said that? They're not. That's not what they're known for. I know.
Okay. Yowza. and he got fired.
Yeah,
he did land at Fox Sports. I mean, he's not hurting right now,
right.
But still, I hadn't heard that.
And then the St. Michael Schmidt said that maybe a great baseball player, third baseman for the Philadelphia Phillies, talked about the fact that language is a problem. You get these guys, they don't speak English. It causes a breakdown in sort of the camaraderie of the team, and they might not necessarily try as hard as others. Remember that whole thing?
No, I do not. Sometimes.
So, I mean,
boy,
the idea.
Up on your MS.
No, just
ESPN
some research, Tom.
Yeah.
I'm doing some research. So the idea that Dominican players
have this reputation.
No.
Okay, no. A reputation according to these people that are saying these things. I'm not saying they have I'm not saying it's an earned reputation. I'm saying people are saying this about them.
Okay, so why are you bringing it up in this context?
I'm like bringing it up in context that in the just overall conversation of baseball, there are people that play that study this game and talk about this game and get paid to have opinions about baseball, say these things about Dominican players.
Wow. So the problem is that it sounds like you are now excusing or allowing for Mariners management to think and say these things.
No, I'm not excusing
that's the general
it.
Consensus.
As
baseball. Okay, good.
As a journalist. Yeah. As a fake journalist doing fake news. I'm just trying to find the context of the environment.
Okay.
Is it possible
that
two people that work for whatever team it is, could be sitting there talking about Dominican players? Well, if you are in this world, this bubble of baseball, and it is sort of said even by Colin Cowherd on ESPN, why wouldn't something similar like that be said, back in the back office?
So I think that's music to the ears of Lorena.
Well, I'm not because I don't know.
I mean that's what the accusation is. And if what you're saying is true, because I think could be an absolutely legitimate observation that this is the consensus in Major League Baseball. That is a black eye for Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And they might do their best to change that impression if that's
people freaked out
the impression.
You know, like it's baseball. You don't think a general manager can manage? Like it's impossible. The game is too complex. Like, I've never bought into that baseball is just too complex. Really? A third of the sport is from the Dominican Republic. The Dominican Republic has not been known in my lifetime as having, world-class academic abilities. I mean, a lot of those kids come from rough backgrounds and have not had opportunities academically that other kids from other countries have.
He knows he's in trouble.
Baseball is like instincts. It's mostly instincts.
Yeah.
It's a sports writer who covers baseball.
Okay, your general idea?
Yes, I hear it.
I would say it's a legitimate point
to say a lot of, and it's true, one of the problems about marketing the Mariners, they say, is a lot of them are not fluent in English enough to become, popular stars for a mostly English-speaking crowd. You can talk about the language. That makes sense. That's no reflection on their culture.
No.
It's a reflection on the fact that they may speak a different language.
Okay, now I'll do the other side. You ready? Here's this woman who worked at another baseball organization. She only worked there for a year and a half or 2 years, and they let her go, didn't renew her contract. Mariners make a big deal about, hey, we hired a woman, and she's a minority. Bing, bing, you get to check two boxes and do a big press release on it. She's in there for, what, a year, year and a half, and they don't renew her contract.
Lorena. I think it was less than a year.
Yes, less than a year.
Yeah.
So she worked at one place for 2 years or something like that, year and a half, and they let her go. She comes in with the Mariners, then they let her go. So the thing is that is it her? Is it that she doesn't bring any value? They don't want to pay her the money, and then they decide to let her go, and then she's mad that she's been released by the one team and now by this team, and she comes back and she's going to hit them with this charge that they're racist or that they're mean to the Dominican players or they say disparaging thing about some of the players.
Well, I guess the question that you're kind of getting at in a roundabout way is if she hadn't been fired, would she have raised these objections? And I don't know enough.
Again, Tom, I'm just a fake journalist doing fake news.
Yeah. That always makes me nervous. But now, in terms of changing the rules of baseball, this actually is more entertaining, I think.
Well, they're going to try to get it to be a little faster. Right now, the average game lasts 2.5 days, and they're going to speed it up.
Yeah, and so now you only have to get 2 outs in an inning. No, there are some not really radical, but for baseball, they pride themselves on being a very 19th century conservative kind of sport.
Yeah.
And so whenever there are changes, it sort of shakes the foundation of baseball fans. The DH, which I think is now 40 years old, designated hitter rule, is still seen as scandalous in certain circles. And now they're going to raise that scandal thermometer even higher with the suggestion that they create, and this is just a suggestion at this point, they're considering having a universal DH. Right now, a designated hitter is the guy who hits for the pitcher because the pitchers are normally lousy hitters, and so you get a good hitter in instead of the pitcher. That's true in one league but not the other. We've done this for a long time in the American League. The National League has held out, and so now they're suggesting maybe the National League ought to do it because, after all, when you've got somebody like Edgar Martinez, who now is the first designated hitter to be in the Hall of Fame, if you've got somebody like that beloved, why not have another position created for that? But a lot of traditionalists feel like, no, 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 it's actually more interesting when you have that division.
Mm-hmm.
You also could make, you have to pitch
you
every 20
seconds. You said this is going to be more interesting.
Oh, you don't think so?
Yeah, go ahead.
The DH, I mean, I mentioned the Edgar Martinez thing.
I understand.
Throw in the local thing. Speeding up games with 20, you have to 20 seconds to make a pitch.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think that's a good suggestion.
Throw two pitches at the same time.
And then finally, yes, that's right, with two batters. Well, that would really speed it up.
One, wait, do you use both arms at the same time?
Whatever you need.
Yeah.
No, you have another batter. You have a pitcher up there.
One other suggestion that might take hold. That when you bring in a relief pitcher, I don't know how many people watch baseball.
Oh,
I only do it during this.
Why does he get a warm-up?
Yes. Each one warms up, and they're in for one batter. So now the rule might be you have to stay in for at least three batters.
You see the quarterback standing off on the sidelines. The other guy gets hurt. He's warming up. He runs out there. The kicker is constantly warming up. Guess what, reliever? Warm up back in the dugout. We don't want to stand there and watch you throw a few. All right, looks like he's ready to go. Seven minutes later.
The pitchers are like thoroughbreds. They are very finely tuned machines, but if one little thing goes wrong, they can break their ankle, and that's the danger. So, anyway, those are some of the suggestions.
Speaking of being in shape, Army aims for more combat-ready troops with a new fitness test. I remember, was it Eisenhower was really upset that a lot of guys weren't strong enough when he was trying to work with the Army, so then he started, I believe it was Eisenhower, that started the presidential fitness test that was putting the kids' high school gymnasiums. So now they want to make sure, because so many of these guys are out of shape, they're going to try to update the test.
Current physical fitness test is a great test of general fitness. However, it was not a good test for the physical components of fitness required to do your job as a soldier, any soldier in the Army, on the battlefield.
Okay, so they're changing things around. He's talking about new specific testing, and they are...
Whether this is a deployment to Afghanistan, where we currently have forces that are operating, or a deployment that's an unknown threat sometime in the future, these events measure your ability to be able to carry a litter. They measure your ability to be able to carry somebody that has been injured.
Okay, good. And then a major says, is a little worried.
Bullets on the battlefield don't discriminate. I'm going to have to move a person from point A to point B. It does not matter that 90% of the time I may sit in a chair working behind a computer, right? I'm going to have to do these things. There's some apprehension. I wouldn't say necessarily people are dreading it. People kind of are leery of change. I routinely wake up, I do a few push-ups, a couple sit-ups, and then I go running for about 4 miles. I cannot do that and expect to pass the ACFT. I am prepared to be utterly embarrassed.
So these are guys that sit behind the desk normally. Now they're being asked to do jumping jacks and then run a quarter mile.
But these are not, you know, the stereotype of the cop who's eating donuts. These guys are not way out of weight. They said they'd have no problem passing the original thing. You know, you have to run, you know, it's a 2 mile this and you do, 20 sit-ups. Mm-hmm. I mean, the traditional, they can still pass that. But they said this next one is much more strenuous. They did say that one qualifier they say is depending on which department of the Army like you're in, like they're going to make infantrymen do, you know, harder work if they're in the infantry than they are going to make, you know, if you're, I don't know if it's medical personnel or whatever, but they are making some kinds of distinctions, but they want to make it more combat ready. Can you sprint away from a fire carrying a wounded comrade on a stretcher? Can you haul cans of fuel to a truck? They're very sort of specific exercises that would be handy in the field, and that's normally not how things have been done. Mm-hmm. And the other problem is they say, so first off, most recruit, they're having a hard time recruiting because most Americans of that age are out of shape anyway. But once they get you in, they say a third of the people that actually make it to boot camp drop out because they get injured. Mm-hmm. They're just not, you know, strong enough to withstand it. So this is a, you know, maybe it's a little too late in the running, but they say we got to get our troops up to speed.
Do you think that once a police officer passes the test, which I think is a 2 mile run under a certain amount of time, certain number of push-ups, certain number of sit-ups and stuff like that, do you think they should then be retested every year?
Well, certainly not every year, but this is a lot like the surgeon in the pilot business. At what point do you need to be able to pass certain physical demands? I would say if you're not in the field, you wouldn't need to.
All right.
That, you know, if you've already done that and then you've graduated, it would be like, John, how well could you run a news desk right now? Well, I start off at the news desk. I don't need to be able to do that anymore because we're in a different job. But I do think that you need to have your wits about you. And so if you still are in the field, you probably need, you know, some kind of updates. That's exactly what's happening with the Seattle Police Department because they are in danger of not having enough cops.
Yeah.
They're putting together something called a contingency plan, which means the Seattle police detectives are being trained to go back on patrol in case they're needed. If there's some big Super Bowl event or some big terrorist activity, they need to have these people sort of up to speed, mm-hmm. and so they're doing training.
Kyra 7 talks about it.
Perfect. It is a Band-Aid at best. An analogy I used was, you can't move the furniture around in the living room and think you have more furniture.
Rich O'Neill with the Seattle Police Officers Guild says the need for more SPD officers on patrol is no secret.
We are incredibly understaffed, and it is a crisis.
And he says a memo Cairo 7 obtained about officers going into patrol refresher training shows just how serious that crisis is. The memo lists employees required to attend, including officers from the city's homeless navigation team, auto theft units, and burglary and theft units, as well as detectives from robbery, homicide, and officers on the sex offender detail and fugitive felony warrants.
Our detectives all carry very heavy caseloads, and those reports will pile up, and that will lead to many frustrated community members who want to know, well, what happened to my burglary?
Mm-hmm. Finally, Sean Welcome explains what they're thinking. The plan is...
The idea, naturally, is that should the need arise to backfill patrol, everyone will be at that same level of capability. And while I do say that, there are no plans to do so at this time. Again, using the WTO example, using a Seahawks victory parade example, it could be a one-off event. Or it could be something where unexpectedly you've got more officers. Everyone goes and leaves and works for Bellevue.
Everyone leaves and goes and works for Bellevue because Bellevue pays more or they respect their officers?
Well, no, that would be the concern. That's mm-hmm. why they're offering $15,000 to get lateral moves. And they said they need to be prepared in case all of a sudden, if Bellevue just doubled their salaries, for instance, and this is the contingency program. It would be temporary, but that's the concern.
Yeah.
But yeah, the union obviously is not happy with this.
Right. Jason Rantz has. I told him to do it, and he's filed a Freedom of Information request. He wants to see the daily roll calls because they stand up there and they call through the names of everybody that's supposed to go out on the streets that day.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have a certain number of them. And he wants to see whether or not they meet the standard every single day. How many people are asked to stick around and do another shift? What's the overtime like? Are they properly staffed? And he requested that, I think, about 2 months ago. Interesting to see.
Is that publicly available information, though, or they might not? I can imagine that might not. That might be privileged information just because you don't want to reveal, the strength or weaknesses of something. I mean, do you think it has security issues?
I don't know. What do you think? It's a roll call.
I don't know. Is a roll call public? I don't think a roll call is public. But we'll see. I mean, if we get the information, we're journalists after all.
Okay.
I like the fact that you.
I said fake. I didn't say real journalists. Yes. Right. I mean, I'm full of bias. The only difference is that I explain my bias and I have it out there for all to enjoy. Most journalists don't.
Have the bias. You're right.
Yeah, right. I agree. Listen, if there wasn't bias, Fox wouldn't be the number one cable outlet. Obviously, somebody
people love bias.
Things.
Clearly, if Fox
they
is
do.
Number one.
They love the bias CNN and they love the bias on Fox. Everybody gets served whatever bias they want.
Oh, you live in right such back. A simple world, John.
Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. Text that number and tell the people that work here at Cairo to turn the heat down in this studio. Oh, yoy, yoy. Is this the way they're going to get rid of the mice, is to cook them out of here? This is crazy.
We're first, apparently.
Well, they're covered in fur, Tom, so they're going to be out before we will. Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. Got a good letter of the day yet? People writing in funny stuff?
Still waiting on the letter of the day, but yeah, we'll get
some stuff. There you go. Joseph in Bellevue, get at it. Mm-hmm. And David in Lake Stevens, where are you? Okay, let's see. It's the big call, and it's called the, what are they calling this thing? The
Green New Deal.
Green New Deal, right. And you've
New
got your,
Deal, like Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah, that was
revolutionized good. America.
And
now green
is
environmental. Yes, and gave us Social Security. It's great.
It's great.
Now we want a green one.
Yeah, that's right. And who's going to lead the way? A 28-year-old socialist.
The thing about a Green New Deal is that it's not an outright ban.
Bartender.
On any source of energy.
You could start with Senator Ed Markey, but he's not sexy.
Whoa, there's the headline. You don't think Chris Markey from Connecticut is sexy?
Chris, his name is Ed.
Whatever.
Chris is, but Ed is a stiff.
And that's my opinion as one member of Congress. And one of the big goals that we have is that we're trying to just sketch out a blueprint and work with other members to get there.
Mm.
This is at a press conference today?
No, this is from NPR. That's Cortez talking about what the new Green Deal is.
Okay.
And it seems like what's going to happen is if you want to run for office and be a Democrat, do you sign on to that thing or do you not sign on? If you don't sign on, then you're not all in. But if you do sign on, then you can get some baggage hung around your neck. So then you have to start to equivocate like, well, I'm okay for that, but I'm not okay for that. But generally right now, what the Green Deal that they have put forward is really aggressive, right?
Yes.
What do they hope to do?
Green New Deal.
Green New Deal.
Well, what they're trying to do is, she says by 2030, other scientists say more like by 2040, is to just lower, to have this sort of neutral net carbon emissions.
Right. Within 10 years, all of our energy would be from renewables.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. Now, the key, though, is that none of this legislation that both Senator Markey and in the Senate and her in the House have proposed, there's no mechanism, there's no money for this. So basically, this is like a mission statement, a list of goals. And you're right. Right now, this is not seen as something that Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic leadership wants to get behind.
Uh-uh.
At this point, what they're doing is something that we never got to this phrase, but it was a couple weeks ago, I think there was an article about the value of somebody like Ocasio-Cortez in Congress. It's her understanding of what's called the Overton window.
Yeah, you stretch things.
And that is, yes, it's the range of ideas that are tolerated in public discourse.
Yeah.
And what she's doing is she's making it, and Bernie Sanders, long before her, made it okay to say, I'm a socialist, or a democratic socialist, at least. It's broadening that window. And because of that, I think this, if you see this as sort of the Overton window effect, it is expanding the kind of conversation we're having.
Yeah.
Because for the most part, when it comes to legislation, the Republicans are dead set against any kind of climate change adjustments. And the Democrats have not come up with a winning strategy to make that a more compelling political issue, despite the efforts of Jay Inslee. This is one of those efforts of trying to do that.
So she says that it would require massive government intervention to solve the climate change problem.
We have tried their approach for 40 years. For 40 years, we tried to let the private sector take care of it. They said, we got this. We can do this. The forces of the market are going to force us to innovate, except for the fact that there's a little thing in economics called externalities. And what that means is that a corporation can dump pollution in the river and they don't have to pay for it, and taxpayers have to pay for cleaning up our air, cleaning up our water, and saving the planet. And so we've already been paying the costs, except we have not been getting any of the benefit. And so what we're here to say is that government is not just for cleaning up other people's mess, but it's also for building solutions in places where the private sector will not.
Okay, so the EPA said back about 5 years ago that EPA says U.S. cleaner and greener than it was 30 years ago. So it's obviously working. You just said if you like these.
Enough.
It was a Democrat. Tell me if you like these things. This is in your green. This is in the Green New Deal. They will eliminate emissions from transportation within 10 years. So that means you get an electric vehicle. So if you have a gas vehicle, you probably won't be able to have that. You okay with that?
John, that's not the thing. That is a goal. It'd be like world peace. I think you should think of this Green New Deal suggestion as something like a mission statement or an inauguration speech or maybe even a
cut
state
the military
of the
in half.
The idea is, well, that's...
This is how politicians run. You run on a platform. They want to cut the military in half at least. Yes or no? You okay with that?
I can't imagine that would work. I'd like to see what the justification for that was.
Eliminate...
Is it the amount of money we spent?
So
that doesn't cut the military in half. You just cut the spending. It may be that they've come up with more efficient ways to do it. I don't have that that background.
They want to eliminate nuclear, natural gas, coal, and oil within 10 years.
Okay, now, why do you keep saying 10 years?
Because that's what she said, 10 years. This is her plan. No.
Yes.
They said they read a study in Britain that you could do it within 10 years.
Yes. Well,
obviously, this is their plan. I'm all excited by this.
And
I want this to go forward.
And the environmentalists who are looking at this are saying by 2050. The idea is that
she's
Republicans
saying,
don't. I know, and she
we
said,
don't
yeah,
have
that would
time
be great
to wait,
this.
Tom.
That's
this,
right.
It, the
we don't.
Climate change is
and
going
if it was
to
up
kill
to
us.
Republicans, we do nothing. So this is going to move us along.
So yes. What they will do is they want to eliminate all the jobs. This is the U.S. Department of Energy says that if you're working in coal or gas or oil or any of those things, you can't have those jobs anymore. So that
you
would
can't.
Mean five.
This is a democratically decided legislation.
I'm just reading the Green Deal. Do you like it or not?
Exactly.
You like
no,
the Green Deal?
John, you are. What you doing?
I read the Green Deal. Read the Green Deal?
No,
this is what's
read,
in here.
I have read the summary of the
okay.
Green Deal.
All right. Well, giving you the details.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, the problem with you, John, is that you were eager to do the story because you just wanted to rip it apart. And I'm trying to tell you, don't take it so seriously.
I'm not.
They are suggestions. Remember, Donald Trump said a lot crazier things and he got elected.
Yes.
So the idea is that these are the kinds of goals that we should have. If we could do it in 10 years, that would be fantastic. But it's too much. It would be too much social upheaval, and we don't have the science behind it. But if we're moving in that direction, we're not taking climate change seriously enough.
Tom,
this is an effort to do
that. We're talking about Alexandria Cortez. And
no,
she
we're not.
Says,
we're talking about this legislation, which
deal.
Was introduced by
her,
Ed Markey.
Right, and her.
Yes.
And this is her thing. And she's saying that this is such a – climate change is such a serious matter
yes.
that we want to do this in 10 years. And when somebody
okay,
said, her, 10
fine.
Years seems aggressive, yeah. she said you have to be able to imagine doing the things you can't do.
That's
so,
true.
Included
so
in the Green Deal
10 years,
is if you work in the U.S.
50 years.
If you work in coal or oil, that other stuff, you lose your job. But don't worry. We're going to guarantee – there will be federal guaranteed jobs for everybody. So that's part of it. So we're going to wipe out 5.8 million jobs. But don't worry, we're going to give you a government job as well. And when they asked her, how do you pay for all this?
Yeah.
She says, well, it'll be deficit spending. It'll be increase in taxes. And we'll have bonds and things like that.
That's right. I mean, the idea is that it wasn't even an effort at trying to explain. It's going to cost trillions of dollars to do this. This is not. This is more of a, again, a mission statement. And why you're taking this particular piece of legislation where all these other pieces of legislation are introduced, you don't look at.
I like this
it's
one.
Just, you,
I like this
you
one
don't.
Because this, the, okay. Tom, if you are a Democrat, by the
yes.
way, if you're an independent, and you like what Cortez says,
yes.
this is what they'd like to put in place.
I know, but John, then why don't we take somebody on the extreme right and see if Republicans like that? The idea is that this is, again, Overton window, everybody. Think of that. This is to broaden the discourse so you take climate change seriously instead of deny it. That's what's happening here. And she doesn't have the support of anybody more than Mr. Markey, as far as I can tell.
I think she's got 17 that are going to sponsor and sign on. This is great. I'm just bringing up the good stuff. This is how we're going to save the planet.
John,
we're going to get these Democrats to push this thing through.
Everyone sees through your tactics, John. Nobody's buying it for a second.
You don't like the facts included in
Although,
this, do you?
Yeah, facts. The facts are, in a mission statement, there are no such thing as facts. These are goals. And if we could do this, it would be great.
Right.
But it's going to be hard to do it. We just got to change our mindset to think that we even can address climate change instead of throwing up your hands and giving up and saying, well, can't do that like
well,
the Republicans.
The good news is we produce less CO2 than we have in the last 5 years.
That's so right. That's that is good news, but
yeah.
it's not fast enough. It's not going to save us.
Well, that's right. We're all going to burn up.
If the planet goes up in smoke,
uh-oh.
You're going to say, hey, well, we got better.
There's a lot of good things about climate change. Sharks are going to be right-handed and they're going to bite more people. Remember that story last week?
You're such a Republican.
All right. We don't normally do this. Q&A, Tom?
How yeah, let's do a Q&A.
Lady in the back with the Lululemon pants on and the hat on with the ponytail through the back. Yes.
Is my pizza going to be covered in cocaine today?
Pizza, cocaine covered today?
Yeah.
All right. Here comes.
Well, that had a better build up.
You ask again?
Is yeah.
It? Yeah, see? Care Partners Senior Living is probably thinking twice about sponsoring this
right.
portion of the Tom and Curly Show, but they shouldn't. Because here comes the mailman, one of the best parts of the show. Because this involves you, the listeners of the Tom and Curly Show.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me.
Oh, wow.
I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Hello!
Hey, teeny tiny lady. She's very excited after sitting through Larry King's drunken soliloquy. All right, Tom, let's go.
Free at last, she's thinking. 253. So we start off the show with our minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
253. John is right. Federal Way McDonald's raised their price last week.
Uh-oh.
What was the $1 McDouble is now $2.29.
Don't act like you don't eat it every day.
The $1 sausage biscuit is $1.99.
Oh.
Manager said it's because of $12 wage. She said, wait until next year.
I didn't mention that, but I'm glad that's true. 360. It's simple. 15 minimum wage nationally equal more tax revenue for government. Everyone raises price if inflation goes up for all. Minimum wage earners gain nothing.
206. Minimum wage is just the lowest people can legally pay labor to make money for them. If we didn't have it, we'd still have slavery.
Let's see. 425. John's comments about tomato and New York was most awesome burn. A true example of quick wit. Thank you, John. I needed that. And then you said it was just nothing more than a quip.
All right. Pithy, he described it as.
Oh, pithy.
Pithy,
yes.
That's
pithy,
right. Yes. Okay. Mr. Pith. Childcare, irrelevant pith, I think.
Yes.
On the childcare issue, 253, babies are disgusting, especially other people's babies. Dogs, on the other hand, are almost always adorable, even when they're ugly.
Wow. Male sexuality, 425. The best way to get in the mood for sex is to actually have sex. Hormones are powerful. You can steer you in the right direction. Look it up.
360. Guys, keep that drop of Tom saying horn dog. It can be coupled with so many other Tomisms, like the fact that he loves his body and it gives him great pleasure. Horn dog. I love my body, and I get a lot of pleasure out of my body. Horn dog. Doesn't work.
Doesn't work. Thank you. See, that's why we don't let the listeners produce the show. Floor on mattress.
Better, the idea of it was better than the actual.
floor mattresses, 206. They've inspired by a traditional Japanese-style floor bed.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's right. There you go.
Sure.
And 425, screw the bed. I sleep in a hammock. It's the most comfortable, restful sleep I could ever get. And I bet it doesn't squeak.
And I bet you don't do much screwing. 707. Guys, I'm on the floor with laughters. Futons on the floor or a squeaky bed. It's all good. Women love quality sex at any age. Stop at 66? No. And that's from Gloria in the 707. By the way, we have the rest of her phone number. For a good time, we'll send it to you. Here we go.
And 650. Does Jacob's robot prefer his mattress on the floor or in frame? Imagine the sparks.
Old surgeons, emergency room docs have to pass a test every couple of years. My wife runs the class, and they aren't happy if they don't pass.
Really? Well, mm-hmm. There you go. Maybe just emergency though, room zones. David Natacortis, during a 43-year career as a commercial and airline pilot, I took two FAA physical exams every year, any of which could have ended my career for issues that could not end a surgeon's career, like diabetes or heart disease, and twice a year took 2 or 3 day training and checking events mandated by the FAA and had FAA inspectors randomly show up in the cockpit to give on-the-spot checks, check rides. No surgeon goes through anything like that. And all that despite at all times having at least one, if not two there, fully qualified pilots along in the same cockpit.
Right.
I guess the idea is a surgeon can screw up one person badly, but not 300 people at the same time.
Paul in Albuquerque, John is correct about the mandatory retirement for passenger airline pilots, but pilots can still fly for Part 135 carriers after that age. In other words, you can haul boxes, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. There's an old adage in the business, boxes don't complain that they don't Dutch oven each other in the cabin. Is that part of the old expression, too? Can't imagine.
And Hugh and Raymond, hearing old Larry King, I had an epiphany. Maybe there should be an FCC-regulated upper age limit for radio talk show hosts.
Oh, no. Oh, no, we're out of time. Let's see. Where are you? Tiny, where are you?
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
It's going to be complicated.
Comes from 206. The definitive answer to the baby versus dog question.
Mm-hmm.
Baby in hat or bonnet? Dog without hat? I pet the dog. Dog in bonnet, baby without hat, dog too cute. I pet the dog.
Right.
Then look at baby to see if dog stole hat. What I look at depends on the hat.
Wow. There we go.
Out of time. Bye-bye.